Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2 verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth. I'm not sure really when this show's going to air on WVNE. It might be the final week. I think what's going to happen is May 2015, May 8th is going to be our last time on WVNE. So if this plays before then, thank you, WVNE. If it plays afterwards, well, if you're listening on WVNE, you're not listening to me. Maybe it'd be somebody else that you're listening to. I don't know, Chuck Swindoll or Alistair Begg. Is Charles Stanley on the WVNE? I think he probably is. For years, I always thought Andy Stanley was the better theologian, and he stood up to his father back in the day, probably in the early 90s, and insisted his father step down because of the divorce, and then had to move on and start his own church because his father wasn't. But now it's Charles Stanley, who, if you had to pick a Stanley to follow or learn from or listen to, well, I'm not full on board with Charles Stanley's teachings. Compared to his son, you'd much rather listen to Charles Stanley than Andy Stanley. What a theological train wreck and disaster. We'll probably be the Brian McLaren of this decade or generation. Well, if you want to write us, it's info@nocompromiseradio.com. That is not going to change. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube channels, WVNE recordings, NoCo TV, iTunes Radio, all that stuff is going to stay the same. I just couldn't justify spending 10 grand to be on the radio again, although I hate to miss out on the local outreach and influence. We probably can put some money now toward apps and stuff like that. So if you're listening and you're dying to have us on WVNE, I guess there's a way that you know that you could make that happen. Oh, I was just on the internet a while ago. And Paul Shirley, of all people, I've had Paul Shirley on the show before, so you think he'd be nice to me, right? That's the way this works, doesn't it? If I have you on, then you can't say anything bad. Why do you think I have Tom Chantry on the show? So then he doesn't blast me. I'm trying to get R. Scott Clark on the show just so I'm going to be okay. Here's Paul Shirley on Twitter. This was on April 30th. That's when I'm recording the show. I heard at NoCo Radio is selling t-shirts to raise money with a new jet with a Hino painted on it. Strange tongues and prosperity theology. I mean, Paul Shirley, of all people, can you imagine him saying something like that? And then Nikki writes, "Hey, no more No Compromise Radio on WVNE." And I said, "It's money, it's 10K. Do you get more listeners from the podcast or from the radio show?" I don't know, because I don't have the money to fill it out. Those Arbitron ratings are pretty costly. So anyway, if you listen, I'm just very glad you do listen. And if you don't know what Hino is, Hino is the equivalent of the retort of hello to a theological faux pas. Hello, you answer the phone, but Grandma Nona, she couldn't say hello, so she said Hino. I think she could say hello, but she'd always just answer the phone, Hino. So when I called her in Omaha, Nebraska, and she picked up her rotary dial, green standard Northwestern Bell issue. I know she had green standard Northwestern Bell issue because I installed it as a telephone installer for Northwestern Bell. How many days did I go without an accident? Not too many. So anyway, just a couple side notes here. We're just filling in a few things. Now, one, I recently talked to a King James only person, And it really wasn't much of a talk. I just got done preaching a sermon on the doctrine of hell, and he, this particular man, sat in on that sermon. And I was trying to make every point that I could to explain the doctrine of hell that you'll hear or have heard on No Compromise Radio, the four-part series. Well, for that sermon and for that radio show series, I used both the New American Standard and the ESV. Well, he came up to me afterwards, and it was a pretty intense sermon when I delivered it, and it was difficult to just sit and think about the truth of hell. It has nothing to do with my sermon and how I delivered it and how marvelously I put it together, and it was spellbindingly delivered. I don't mean that, but just the topic. I mean eternity. And you think about offending God and His holiness, and you think about punishment, and you think about judge, jury, and executioner thrown in, tormented, thrown in, thrown in, thrown in. I mean, it is tough. And I said, everyone you know is going to either go to heaven or hell. 95 million people die per year. 3 every second. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18. 21. And furthermore, many are called, but few are chosen. Strive to enter And then we've got, narrow is the way. You got the broad gate and the narrow gate. And so anyway, went through this whole thing. I had food poisoning too. So the day before I had really pretty much anything I had in my system was gone. I guess that's all I could say on radio. I could say tons more on radio, but I'm not on radio anymore. It's just a podcast. So anyway, it was delivered, and it was sobering, and I was glad that I could just tell people the truth. Aren't you glad you're not going to hell? If you're a Christian, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. I mean, it should be true for the Christian, no matter how bad our day is going, no matter how poor you are, how in debt you are, how falling apart your body is, that you don't have to go to hell, especially to think, I deserve to go, but I'm not. I just was thinking about my friend, and I grew up with my friend. I'll say his name. His name's Wayne, and he was my best friend, and I always wanted to be like Wayne. He had the tiger, he had the world by its tail, tiger by its tail. We used to go to Tiger Tom's, was I think at the pub that we went to. Anyway, he lived down the street. We partied together. We played together. We drank together. We went to junior high together, elementary school together, high school together, college together, roomed for a couple of years as college roommates. And my life is just different than his. And so what's the difference between his life, has been divorced and is really going through some tough physical things now. What's the difference between his life and my life? Me? I'm better. I recognize that Jesus was Savior on my own, by myself, no help needed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm the one sola bootstrapsa. I picked myself up by my own bootstraps. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of drugs and rock and roll and all this stuff. And I'm just going to be a changed man. I'm going to just change my life. Well, obviously, that's not the case. That's not what happened. It was God who interrupted me. I remember sitting in college talking to Wayne about God. We've been on backpacking trips together for the Lutheran Church in Colorado. We've been to Galeana, Mexico to preach the gospel, what we thought was the gospel, for mission work as we were 14, 15 years old. So what's the difference between him and me? How do you describe someone? If you look at a person who's been blessed by God, favored by him, this is what it looks like to be a man who worships the triune God and the blessings of spiritual benefits, of eternal life, of the Holy Spirit, of the Word, of understanding life, death, heaven, hell, how to raise a family, what to do. Oh, I am still a sinner. Yes, that's not the point. And I know I'm not better than him. That's not the point. But I have been one who's been the recipient of salvation. One day you just don't say, oh yeah, as to zeal, I'm a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. And now all of a sudden, I just, what I used to think, I don't think. And what I used to don't think, I do think. Think? You think? I mean, what happened to Paul when he said, but whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the powers of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. How do you change your mind? How do you believe what you used to not believe? I mean, how do you repent? And the question regarding that whole thing is it has to be a supernatural act of God. Right? God regenerates you monergistically, God alone regenerating you. We are passive in redemption. The passivity of redemption, as the theologians call it. And then we respond. Our new nature responds with new affections. AFF. New affections. And so, why am I different? Well, the only reason I'm different is for the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. And so as I think about those sobering realities of the grace of God in my life and how I should be going to hell, and I hope my friend Wayne doesn't go, and I need to call him and remind him of the hope of heaven. But in the lights of these, light of these truths and the reality of a hot fiery furnace, unquenchable fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not, eternal fire, lake of fire, perdition, everlasting punishment. Somebody comes up to me afterwards and said, I'm basically mad at you. Now, I was bracing the fact that he was mad at me because I talked about an eternal duration of hell. I was bracing myself for the fact that how can you finitely sin on earth and then be punished for an infinitely long period of time called eternity? I was bracing the fact that I would criticize conditional mortality or conditional immortality, purgatory. I was bracing myself for that. I was bracing myself for the fact that I said John Stott believed wrongly in annihilationism. I was bracing myself for the fact that I would teach and just got done teaching that if annihilationism is true, there's no degrees of punishment in hell, and the Bible teaches that, Hebrews. But then to think, okay, what Bible did you use? I think I was mad. I mean, it was a stereotypical angry person. I probably shouldn't say this, but kind of a hair that would be stereotypical of a King James only person. Suit that would be stereotypical. I have more to say about each of those, but I'm not saying them. And because I didn't use the Textus Receptus-based manuscript, this person was mad at me. Now, there are other people around me who wanted to talk about the message, or maybe a loved one or something like this, but this person was angry. And they wanted to let me know. That was nice of them, wasn't it? And so instead of out evangelizing people because hell is true and real, they wanted to make sure that I was put in my place. And so I want to be nice with people. I want to be kind. If I'm not careful, I'm sure the old Mike, the pre-regenerate Mike, maybe a pugnacious Mike, a pugilistic Mike. I know the English vocabulary to some degree. I think I could probably spit venom out pretty easily and have done it. And created lots of forest fires in my day to my shame. So I wanted to try to be godly, but I wasn't going to take it in terms of just an ignorant lambasting. And so I said to the person, excuse me, I said, this conversation is going to end now. I will continue it under one condition. And I let the other people around me hear me because I thought they needed to know as well. I will let this conversation continue under one circumstance. And that is, could you tell me one verse from the Bible that I read from the ESV or NAS? I actually read one verse out of the King James Bible, which I like the King James Bible. It's a fine translation. And I think I used Daniel chapter something with my comeliness. And I said, just tell me one place where what I said about hell from the ESV or NAS was wrong. The truth that I said about hell was wrong from one of those verses. Any verse that I said, and I read a bunch of them. I read all the verses that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 12, speaking of hell. And there's a lot of them. I use Revelation chapter 14. I use Revelation chapter 20, Matthew 25, and the list goes on. Matthew 27, talking about how it was a veritable hell that Jesus endured on the cross, condensed into 3 hours. And he stormed off. And so, why do I tell you these things? If it were up to me, and people, whether they're trolling on the internet or they want to get involved in these arguments, I think you ought to reconsider arguing with people who don't want to reason. I've met some people before, and they would say, now listen, here's the reason why this Byzantine text type would be the best, and see what's happening here in the Alexandrian text types and see where this could lead you. And let's take a look at some of these things and just work through it. I would love to do that. That'd be fine. But once you see, even over in James White's channel, aomin.org, and he writes the book that you should read, by the way, King James Only Controversy, just the vitriol, people blowing their gaskets. That's what they're doing. They're blowing their gaskets because they're so mad. Anyway, I hope the guy thinks differently as time goes on. I've also recently talked to someone, and they told me that their mother was a follower of Jesus. And I said, you know, I'm so glad for that. I'm thankful that she's a follower of Jesus. And then he told me why she was a follower of Jesus, that Jesus himself showed up in her living room and quoted Bible verses to her and then said something about her name. I'm going to change the name. I'm going to call her an Elvis Costello song just popped into my mind, Veronica. That's a great song, by the way, Veronica. And so I'm just wondering, why would Jesus repeat himself? And I thought Jesus was actually in heaven. That's where I thought he was, but I didn't argue. So you would have been very proud of me that I didn't say anything. I didn't argue. I didn't contradict. I didn't say anything. I just thought, this is pretty amazing. It's amazing that Jesus shows up to people, calls them by name. I do think of some great things in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. And you can look at those on your own. So my name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio Ministry. You can always write us at info@nocompromiseradio.com. You can tweet us. And short of saying something really awful, we probably won't ban you, right? We won't put you under the bans. Let's talk about that a little bit. Remember, what was the bans? Do you know what the bans are? I didn't say the B-A-N-D-S's. No, what was the bans? I kind of like the bans. I wonder if anybody today has enough gumption to talk about the bans. Here was the bans from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. First, the bans must be asked three several Sundays, S-U-N-D-A-Y-E-S, by the way, or holy days, in the time of the service, the people being present after the accustomed manner. The bans, B-A-N-N-E-S, within the Common Book of Prayer. It is a noun, plural. It is from ban, B-A-N-N, from the Middle East, bane, B-A-N-E. Ban means a proclamation. And it is a public announcement. And it was in a church setting. And there's going to be a church wedding in a church, a marriage in a church. And for a few weeks, the banns would be read. And so do you know why this couple should not get married? And so for three several Sundays, that's the way it's read here. And you might remember it going something like this. Therefore, if any man can show just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. Now you have a question. Here's the question for the banns. What if the two different people, the husband and the wife to be, the bride and the groom to be, what if those people went to different churches? Well, the banns would be read in the home parishes of the bride and the groom for several weeks prior. And these two people want to get married? Does anybody here know of an obstacle to use the language here, to the proposed union? Do you want to object? I think I'd like to object to that marriage, that wedding. Very fascinating. And so the only ban now today is going to be on heterosexual only marriage people. The ban is going to come on to us. Now, I don't know what's happened with the Supreme Court because as I record the show, it's April 30th, midday. But who knows? There might be a ban soon enough on anyone who says it's a man and a woman only. I think it was 1999 here in Massachusetts. It was the gay marriage that went through. And then within 15, 16 years, look how far we have come. I like the way the Church of England's prayer book in this one is 1559. Dearly beloved friends, we're gathered together here in the sight of God in the face of his congregation to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate instituted of God in paradise in the time of man's innocency, signifying unto us the mystical union that is betwixt Christ and his church, which holy state Christ adorned and beautified with his presence and first miracle that he wrought in Cana of Galilee, and is commended of St. Paul to be honorable among all men. And therefore it is not to be enterprised, nor taken into hand unadvisedly, lightly, or wantonly, to satisfy men's carnal lust and appetites like brute beasts that have no understanding. But here's how we enter into marriage: reverently, discreetly, advisedly, soberly, and in the fear of God, duly considering the causes for which matrimony was ordained. Now, there you have it, my friends. I could read more. In the fear of God. Where is that today? What were the purposes for marriage? Common Book of Prayer nails it. One, for the procreation of children, to be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord and praise of God. Secondly, it was ordaineth for a remedy against sin and to avoid fornication, that such persons as have not the gift of continency may marry and keep themselves undefiled members of Christ's body. And thirdly, for the mutual society, help, and comfort that one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity, into the which holy state these two persons present come now to be joined. Therefore, if any man can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him now speak. There's the bans for that day, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. Well, as the Virginia Slims commercial said in the 70s, you've come a long way, baby. How sad, how sad. Well, my name is Mike Abendroth. God's kingdom will continue. Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord, and we are going to walk by faith and not by sight. So look up, redemption draweth nigh. If this is our last show, thank you to the management at WVNE. Superb radio station, excellent to work with, concerned about gospel ministry and not just the bottom line. Appreciate what they've done, 760 AM. Lots of good other folks on WVNE, specifically R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur, and Alistair Begg. If you had to pick three people on WVNE who are the best of the best, those three would be the ones. So thanks again for listening to No Compromise Radio. Go to NoCompromiseRadio.com, iTunes, Facebook, or wherever you weekend to listen to more of NoCo Radio.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.